Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight for this Ask Me Anything. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? The world is dull. I miss the Trump era. There's nothing happening in the news. It sucks. It's a slow day and slow year of news. I mean, there was the Russia-Ukraine war, but it's an extensive conflict that is that will be extended over lots of time. Not much is happening, and I'm still here for the scientific conversation, but not much people are showing up. I would love to discuss the revolutionary phenotype with anyone who wants to argue against the theory or for it, but no, the internet is kind of dead in terms of intellectual progress. NDBL says, hello, the Daily Stormer is off the internet, Tor only. Well, I know that they've been banned a long time ago, so I don't know if there's a new ban. Perhaps they had a new domain name and eventually it got banned too. But I know that Cloudflare had banned them and the domain name providers had banned them. It is an instance of a internet ban across multiple platforms. The first, if I remember correctly. Sepko says Boogie is dead. That's not true. Every time someone types this in my chat, it's generally false. I don't expect this to have happened. So tonight, if you would like to speak with me, you can join us on Discord. The link to the Discord server is in the description below. And join the waiting room. If I see someone in the waiting room, I will slide you in the JF lounge and you'll be live on the show. And if you would like to send super chats, my favorite platform for super chats is Odyssey. You can use the support button to support the show and send your questions, or you can use Entropy, which is also a great platform in which I put my survey of the night. Will they catch the Tim Pool swatter? Apparently, Tim Pool has been swatted again, and it's the eighth time since the beginning of the year. That's 2022. Quite surprising. In an age of technology and surveillance, why isn't there a police force capable of finding who's making these fake calls to Tim Pool's house? Cleveland Clinic Children Hospital refuses father to son kidney transplant over jab status. The Ohio hospital refuses to perform the transplant that they agreed to before the pandemic over current COVID jab policies. Despite the pandemic being on the downswing, according to all sane people, COVID hysteria is still very alive and well. Lives are being ruined by the hysteria and control fetish that government authorities, schools, and hospitals exhibit with blatant disregard for how it impacts ordinary, rational people. This was a life-saving kidney transplant in 2018. They had agreed to do it, but now they can't do it because someone is not vaccinated. He is considered a second-class unvaccinated citizen, cannot get hospital service. Absolutely disgusting. Guy from V says, after I've been banned from Twitter, there's nothing left for anyone. Yeah, I mean, it's censorship is part of what has killed the public conversation. And it's too bad because the internet had a great start. It really gave us the hope for a moment that there will be actual engagement and that you could tweet to anyone and they would answer. But it's not like this anymore. We have been shut down. John Drake says, some of the Gretchen Whitmer kidnappers got off today. That's some news. Yes, I've seen this. Two not guilty and two hung jury. So basically, the whole prosecution failed at making the case. All they had is that, okay, these guys had been practicing with explosives. But it seems that the FBI agents who were who were infiltrating this case were so involved in the creation of the case itself, in directing the anger of these guys toward Gretchen Whitmer, that the jury found that it was insufficient to judge them guilty. And in the cases of two guys, it was hung jury. Reporters waiting on Nancy Pelosi for a presser received a notification to clear the room because she tested positive for COVID.
That's why we wear masks.
Where's the
test?
For COVID, yeah.
I
think this is
going to
be the end of this
press conference.
That
also probably torpedoes her
CODIS. Is she in the building?
I don't know.
These journalists, is she in the building? The COVID obsession is still existing in the journalistic class and in the political Democrat class. So Nancy Pelosi has had COVID, but as we've mentioned the day we learned about it, this could very well be an excuse to not join a trip to Taiwan that she had promised she would do. But she got warned by the Chinese government that they would respond to this. Disclosed.tv reports, German parliament rejects compulsory vaccination bill. So there were fears that they were planning to make a law that would make vaccination mandatory. It's not happening. The parliament has rejected it. So thankfully, the system still has some amount of sense to it. That is very welcome. Rudy Lacid says, Fauci told me that COVID is deadly. If someone with COVID approaches you, you have the right to self-defense. I don't think they would make that argument. One moment, I have to cough. All right, I had to clear my voice. Tim Pool says, we got swatted for the 8th time this year tonight. Everything is fine. It has no impact at all on anything we do at this point. He seems to have integrated it well. Tim Pool is now so used to getting swatted that he's planned all of his operations. He basically has an employee dedicated to welcoming the police and responding to it. Michigan Governor, this is what we were talking about earlier. Michigan Governor Whitmer. Kidnapping plot, two men acquitted, jury deadlocked on two others. Jurors say they couldn't agree on verdicts against Adam Fox and Barry Croft Jr. So the reason these guys were more involved in the eyes of the jury, or at least some members of the jury, is that they had practiced the deployment of explosives. And it was the claim of the prosecution that they were planning to use these explosives to attack the guards of Gretchen Whitmer, and then they would kidnap Gretchen Whitmer. But it seemed they had done these explosive practices months ago, and it seems that the jury didn't believe strongly enough that there was a plan here to truly go at Gretchen Whitmer. They probably chose to believe rather the argument of the defense, which is that making this into an actual thing was all the work of the infiltrating federal agents. So there was no guilty state of mind other than the one forced and induced socially through entrapment. There was a missile in Ukraine that has hit a train station, the Kramatorsk train station, while there were civilians that were waiting there to be evacuated. And there has been denunciation of the Russian side. However, it is not clear from which side this missile came, because it's a Tokta missile. It's the kind of missile that recently made it into Donetsk, and it's the type of missile that Russia says is exclusively used on the side of Ukraine, that they don't use Tokta missiles. This missile was transporting mini bomblets that would explode and send shrapnel around. That's why there were a high number of deaths. The count currently is at around 50 deaths and hundreds of injured. Interestingly, it is claimed that on the missile, there were Russian words written that were saying, for what has happened to our children. So basically, the missile would be sent as a punishment for what has happened to our children. This doesn't seem like the work of a professional army, or if it's the work of a professional army, it would be, they would try to make it look like it's been coming from unprofessional battalion style, like little segments of people without clean orders, because there's this emotional message on the missile. Are we being misled? Did someone write this message to put it on the back of some side when it's not on that back? I don't know. But one possibility is that it doesn't come either from Ukraine or Russia. It could come from the DPR and LPR regions. That would make sense if they wrote, for what you've done to our children, because there are probably people in those regions whose children have been affected by the war for the last 8 years. And so this would be kind of a vengeance hit of some kind. It would also explain why a weapon that comes from Ukraine is being used, since DPR and LPR probably had access to some amount of Ukrainian equipment. So I don't know. Russia denies being at the source of this strike. Another possibility is that it wasn't at all targeting this station. Perhaps it was sent toward DPR and LPR. Perhaps it was sent out of DPR and LPR. And then a system of defense could have tried to stop the missile, but directed the missile toward the wrong area. All these possibilities are true. But for now, I see no solid evidence that this would come from Russia and that it was intentionally targeting the civilians at the train station. New Jersey's new sex curriculum points elementary students to watch videos from Amaze. This is one of their videos. They are telling 9-year-olds to watch porn. Groomers, they say.
Is it normal to watch porn?
Hashtag AskAmaze!
I'm not feeling good about this video already. It looks like this will be a positive coverage for porn toward children.
Yes! It's normal! Lots of people watch porn. After all, it's right there and it's free. And anyway, many people are curious about this sex stuff. But...
I hate the but, oh my god. I hate the tone that they use in these videos, these educational videos. As a science educator, I've always hated this tone. It's a condescending, I have something to teach to you type of tone. It's disgusting. When you use that tone with me, you put me in a mood where I won't learn anything. Let's keep watching before I read this question.
And it's a big but. Remember, porn is not real. It's just a fantasy, like superheroes movies. Body.
Oh my god, they're making it attractive. It's like a superheroes movie. Just in case the child is not yet very interested in porn, it's like, yeah, but see it as a superhero movie. They're actively trying to get them to an inflated boobs with a hair pump. Oh my god.
These don't look like those in porn movies. In general, everything is
Yeah, and they said it's free. It's free, so it's a you don't have to ask money to daddy.
Exaggerated. And sex it often looks very different in real life. So don't expect your own body or sex life once you have one to look anything like what you see in porn. Or to sound like it either.
Oh my god, and the little rap, the little beat and bass music.
Find out more about porn with scratch right here noises. On
Amaze. You have got to be kidding me. I mean, this is what happens in public school right now, so you want to be careful with it. Len Dahl says, it is a waste of time, time you will never get back, so it is not free at all. True, true. Rekt Ma was asking a question on Discord. He says, did anyone get banned from Discord in the past day? My main account just jacked today for apparently breach of TOS due to threats harassment. JF, would you mind inviting the following profile to the server? I don't know if people have been banned from Discord. I haven't seen evidence of this. Now, why would you need me to invite you to the server? The server is open. You can go below the video of any of my shows and you will have the link to the invite. If that doesn't work, contact me in DM. Fractal Man is joining us for the conversation. How are you doing, Fractal Man?
Hey, Jeff. I just turned my stream off, so hopefully I'm good now.
All right. Yes, you're good now. What's up?
Okay, not much. I didn't have too much to talk to you about tonight, but I was actually kind of curious what you thought about things like productivity and the idea of a mental state called flow. I think, you know, as an academic, you've probably been that, a lot of us probably have been, when you can work for 6, 7, 8 hours, and that's more productive than an entire week. Do you believe in that? And do you have suggestions for getting into that? And I also had a question about nootropics and what you thought about that.
Okay, you call it flow? I've never heard of this, but I, from the name, I would suppose it's some kind of mood to be productive.
Yeah, it's. I think it's actually recognized in psychology, but it's this idea that you get into this mental state where you're extra productive. You probably know if you try to stop and start and write for, you know, half an hour, and then you get interrupted, and then you try to write for another half an hour. And you add all those times together, for the same amount of time, you're not as productive maybe as if you work for 4 hours straight. And maybe after an hour, you get into the state where you can write and you can think at a level that you normally wouldn't. So that's sort of the idea of flow. Yeah,
I agree. I know this state. I've never, however, found ways to induce it. But I've known moments where, you know, on my book, you can look at a whole month of my work and it's basically nothing. And then you can look at a specific day when I really feel like advancing and I'm like, okay, I'm going to construct this chapter and I'm not leaving my computer until it's done. So yes, I know that feeling and I know it's real. But I may be a bad counselor to help you reach that state, because actually I'm not super often in that state. It's really when I'm pressed with the back against the wall and I'm like, okay, I have to do it. And I guess what I do to get in that state is goal setting. You have to have an objective that is realistic and that you know it's going to take a lot of work, but that you can deploy it. So I guess that's how I put myself in the flow.
Yeah, that's great. That helps. And I think for me, I'm kind of the same way. I'm not exactly sure how I get into it, but you know, sometimes you kind of have to push yourself in through it. Sort of a little bit like a runner's high. If you're going for a while and you're feeling good, it kind of builds upon itself. But that brings me into my next question that you may or may not have too much to say about, but do you have any thoughts on nootropics? I'm not a smoker, but I've used nicotine patches at times to help with concentration and productivity. And you know, I don't know if you have any thoughts about things like that.
Well, I don't think they're very good tools for productivity because if you go for nicotine patches, I've been addicted to nicotine patches for years. So it's a dangerous thing to do. I've been addicted to this for longer than any smoking I've done in my life. Sometimes I've been smoking for a month and I would spend years after this just patching me. I was totally addicted to these patches. So you have to be careful. And I wouldn't recommend it because in the end, the entire resources you will put into buying these patches is enormous. So what do you gain from it? Have you tried it?
Yeah, and that was a concern of mine too. I use very low dosages, about 7 milligram patches. I'll use them for maybe 4 to 5 hours at a time, and maybe once a week. Sometimes it might be once a month, but really, it's usually when I have. It doesn't seem to help for creativity, but once I already have sort of an idea rolling, if I wear the patch, for a few hours, it's subjective, obviously, but it seems to help me focus and be more productive.
I
But
mean, there are
that's a
some
good
people
point.
who simply don't fall addicted. It's not my case. I mean, I will fall addicted to anything, including Diet Pepsi, caffeine, and nicotine. So if it works for you, I'm super happy. But it would be dangerous to recommend that to 100 people or 1,000 people because many of these people will not be able to retain themselves the way you do.
Yeah, fair enough. And I've had to be very careful about that because I don't want to get addicted to those. Anyways, that's sort of just those are a couple of my thoughts. And yeah, it was good chatting with you.
All right, good talking to you, Fractal Man. I've often received your super chats, and it's good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours again too.
Bye bye. All right, Dead Star says JF can debate for hours without losing focus. I can't sit still for 15 minutes. Yeah, it's I've been used to this. Now someone else was saying, JF, you get in the flow every night to do your show. I wouldn't describe what I do as part of this show as needing a state of mind of flow. It needs some kind of research during the day, but it's not something demanding. It's not a high cognitive load. Really, I'm browsing the internet and I'm like, oh yeah, this news item that might be interesting to talk about. And sometimes it's just going on the Discord and seeing what you guys are posting in the news section. I saw that there was a super motivated guy. For the last few days, he's been posting like 10 news items every day. So it's very pleasant for me because it gives me something that I know you guys, that I know someone from the Discord server finds interesting. So it's a good filter to start with these news. But yeah, I wouldn't describe my work to prepare the show as flow. It's just something that I've imposed on myself. To have something to say every night, and I've been doing it for 7 years now, approximately. So I'm used to it. I don't need a flow. I don't need to be in a special productive cognitive state. I just need to follow my instincts on what's interesting tonight. Sam A says, have you seen this theory, the origin of consciousness in the breakdown of the bicameral mind? Which asserts that ancient peoples may not have experienced consciousness in the way we understand it. Luke Smith did a good review of it. Would definitely put up some XMR to hear your perspective. I believe I've done a quick comment on this. It was not a full review. Oh, it's a book. I think I've seen some The Bicameral Mind. I've seen some claim about this. Probably someone sent me a PDF or something. I hate these theories. I just hate them. Let's have a look. Let's try to find. Is there some sort of summary somewhere about this? That's the. It's so, oh my God, the first God. the origin of auditory hallucinations. At this point, let us consider another problem in the origin of gods, the origin of auditory hallucinations. That there is a problem here comes from the very fact of their undoubted existence in the contemporary world and their inferred existence in the bicameral period. The most plausible hypothesis is that verbal hallucinations were a side effect of language comprehension, which evolved by natural selection as a method of behavioral control. Let us consider a man commanded by himself or his chief to set up a fish weir far upstream from a campsite. If he is not conscious and cannot therefore narratize the situation and so hold his analog eye in a spatialized time with its consequences fully imagined, how does he do it? One moment. My voice is weak tonight. It is only language, I think, that can keep him at this time-consuming all-afternoon work. A middle Pleistocene man would forget what he was doing, but lingual men would have language to remind him, either repeated by himself, which would require a type of volition which I do not think he was then capable of, or, as seems more likely, by a repeated internal verbal hallucination telling him what to do. I hate this kind of writing. Look, I hate this kind of writing, but I like XMR. So I could eventually do that. It's a book from 1976. But you see the problem with this paragraph? I mean, yes, it's true that language comprehension is a method of behavioral control. That much he got right. And this is the theme, basically, of the moral signal also. But I think that, I mean, in one paragraph, this guy has three things that he thinks. That's already a no-no for me, a deal-breaker. I don't care what you think. I care about what you can know. Now, we basically cannot know a single thing other than who was doing pottery and when. That's basically what archaeology will tell you. And then eventually, archaeology will get you to the ancient text of Egypt, and then you'll know something about what was going on. But this whole... It's another form of psychologization. It's not the Freudian type, like feelings, but it's another form of psychologization to say language was needed as a reminder. First, it's not even language then, it's a reminder, it's a brain function. Second, would language be needed for internal action sequences to be retained? It seems to me that many species have action sequences and reminders to execute them based on sensory signals without any form of language. So are you saying they have language, but they just don't have the communicative part of language? It's this kind of text that seems to say something, but it's not that clever as you would think. So I'm willing to do it, I'm willing to review it, because ultimately we have to review bad stuff too, and perhaps I'm wrong, and perhaps I'll discover, reading the rest of the book, that it could be interesting. But if you're okay with that, I will give a negative review, most likely. But I do have to finish Frank Salter. I have to finish his book, because that is my priority in terms of finishing his book and producing a full show on it. Let's start charging men to have babies. Mothers are pushed out of the workforce. Maybe it's time for a market solution. I love this suggestion, but it's exactly what the world was before you wanted to go to work. Yeah, the whole idea was that we're going to pay the house, we're going to pay the food. Yeah, Gripes Coda says it was called a nuclear family. They've gone full circle. Okay, let's do a market solution. You rent my house for $0 for the next 18 years. You care for the child and you will be reimbursed in food also. I mean, and sometimes if I have extra money, I will give you some money. They want to reinvent the wheel here. Tillman says, Daily Stormer, that name was stolen. He is only on Tor browser. Also mirror.gap.com. Okay, so I didn't know this. But has it been like this for a while, or is there something new with this? Twigs is on Entropy. He says, Jeff, remember Tim Pool mentioning that he spoke to the FBI and they hinted that building a case against a person. Well, they had said that they would do whatever they could to find him and that they would most likely find him. That's what I remember. They may have failed. They may have thought that they would find him and they didn't. So perhaps it was not that they're lying, but just that they genuinely thought it would happen and it didn't. Le travail des soldats nationalistes Azov. So those are the Azov battalion people sending an RPG to a Russian tank. All right, so the war continues. Okay, Tillman says it's been 2 or 3 days. Okay, well, I've never been super sympathetic to this Daily Stormer guy. And it's, as I was talking about on the podcast I appeared on yesterday, it's not out yet. It's the Full House podcast. I will share the link when it comes out. But they were telling me, you know, we've talked about people in the dissident right. And we've asked them, is JF still okay? And they told us, yes, JF is still okay. He never dissociated or disavowed anyone. So he's still a good guy. apparently, I'm still respected within the dissident right. I don't care all that much. But it's good. I care to the extent that it's human beings respecting me. I like it. But the Daily Stormer, it's not the idea that I want to disavow the Daily Stormer, but I never liked this site. It's stupid. It's not intelligent. I remember back in the days, back in 2016, I analyzed the debate between Sargon and this the Daily Stormer guy. I don't even remember his name. And I just laughed at how ridiculous he looked and how his arguments didn't hold. So it's not a new thing. I don't respect this website because I don't know how is it that this guy, Andrew Anglin. What has Andrew Anglin contributed to in the public discourse? What, taking racist slurs and bringing them to the internet? Oh my God, the genius. Wow. Is that what we're supposed to respect? And what is this idea that this website has traffic? What kind of person needs the Daily Stormer on an everyday basis? It's like, opens up a cigar in the morning, just puts his feet on the table of the kitchen, and oh my God, what a beautiful day. Let's open up Daily Stormer. Who does that? So I'm like, who reads this shit? That's my reaction in front of the Daily Stormer now. I don't want the domain name system to be the next tool of censorship. I certainly don't want this. But what is the point of the Daily Stormer? Is that trolling? Is that a joke? Is that real? Vol sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, Sapolsky, yeah, I know. had an interesting chapter in The Trouble with Testosterone about the birth of gods and its worship rituals. It was called Circling the Blanket for God. Basically, it's rooted in schizotypical tendencies and soothing conducts that then become codified. Okay, I mean, I don't know that God requires that complex of a of an explanation. I'm willing to review that book you sent. I'll put it in my bookmark right here so that when I have time, I can get back to it. The Origin of Consciousness and the Breakdown of the Bicameral Mind. I'm already annoyed by the title. But, you know, God. God seems like an agent that makes sense in many game theoretical contexts. Suppose you had the beginning of an evolution of the social mind of humans, and they start representing, okay, there's other people around me and they want to do stuff, and sometimes I have to protect myself from them because they want to do evil stuff, and sometimes they may want to do good stuff, and it's totally reasonable to think that just at a certain moment of the evolution of social cognition in humans, the way the social brain was organized, it was just a good evolutionary shortcut to say, all right, take all of these things that you attribute to others and attribute them to an invisible being. And maybe it pacified the tribes back then. Maybe it accidentally unified all sorts of people who otherwise would have been in fights. I see God as simply a shortcut in the evolution of the social mind that creates a factually incorrect statement about the universe, but that was probably morally and evolutionarily advantageous. That's really all you need to explain God. Now, I'm open to more detailed analysis, but just what I've stated probably can encompass any further specific theory. It was just better that way, and the brain took a shortcut, and thinking that there was an omniscient observer led you to adopt behavior that you had already evolved. Probably we had already evolved some sort of like don't do it if someone is looking type of behavior. And the brain found a quick shortcut, a gene found a quick shortcut in the brain to make you have this behavior that you would only do if people are watching, and that you would only do if people are not watching, and that you wouldn't do if people are watching. And this connection made it so that there was someone watching all the time, so you wouldn't do these behaviors ever. That sounds like a reasonable explanation for the evolution of God. Tillman says, I think JF is believing the mainstream media opinion about Andrew England. No, I've read his text because I'm a guy who develops my own opinion on stuff. And it's like K word, N word, this and that. What is the point of using these words? Why? What is the advantage here? To be edgy? You want to be the most edgy guy of edgy boy of the internet? What is the point? And it's not particularly intelligent. He's been grifting onto any meme that would rise, from the Yang Gang to whatever. It's extremely painful and useless as a website. Philosoraptor sends a super chat. He says there's a video called Place 2022 on YouTube. For a day, Reddit users could place a pixel on a canvas every 5 minutes. The results are fascinating. People coordinated impressive artwork with different messages. It created a pixel war that encapsulates humanity perfectly. Okay, Place 2022. I mean, this has been happening before. It's not a new concept. Uh, Let's have a look at the map to see what humanity has converged toward. Oh my god, this is place so was an Yeah, it's exactly what it always leads to. Someone just takes ownership of a small part and there you go. This is always the result, by the way. It's like a war and yeah, this is not new. Okay, so there you go. Some reference to some games, flags, Linux. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not fascinated at these things. Now there's a flag of Quebec with the Hydro-Québec and Canadien de Montréal, Lego logo, GameStop, GME. Okay. Keith Richardson says Reddit is terrible. Yes, it is. Illinois House bill will order gas stations to post Pritzker propaganda sign in window that is a complete lie or face $500 fine per day. Unbelievable, this Democrat governor. Well, is he a Democrat? Yes, Democrat. He wants to force gas stations to put up a sign that says he hasn't increased the tax on gas and he has canceled the increase on the tax of gas that he was planning to do so that it would cost less to the people. It's like, bro, you want to brag by force of government. You want to use the force of the government to brag about not taking money from people, to brag about not making an increase in the current level of money you take from people. This is the state of government right now. This is what happens when the state feels entitled to everything you own. It's like, hey, I need some credit here. I've not taken more money from you. What the fuck are you talking about? And as the article points out, this guy had augmented the tax on gas already 2 years, 3 years ago. He just delayed the current planned further rise. And he wants a sign forced onto each gas station that says, oh yeah, yeah, it sounds unconstitutional, says Guy from V. Sounds unconstitutional to advertise how constitutional you are. Yes, it's probably unconstitutional just by the standard of compelled speech. And I guess that it wouldn't be compelled speech if the government pays for the signs and just forces the gas station to display it, and if the sign clearly says this is a message from the state of Illinois, but it's not a good look. Dead Star sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, Jeff, I am disturbed by the public's inability to acknowledge the unconstitutional behavior and criminality of the police during swattings. Anonymous phone calls and so-called exigent circumstances cannot continue to be allowed by our courts to negate one's Fourth Amendment rights. Absolutely, I agree. We have to basically give sovereignty to private land, period. I know it may sound radical, but if you really respect the right to dissociate, the right to be excluded, the right to go your own way, and the right to privacy and ownership of your home, then it needs to be the case that your home is basically like the inside of your body. There, there shouldn't be any difference, because to the extent that you've constructed your home, it's part of, or you paid for it to be constructed, doesn't matter. It's your phenotype. And there is nothing special that happens at the border of the skin that would justify the invasion of the body to be graver than the invasion of the home. In fact, to a certain extent, the things that are into a home could be more crucial for the state to obtain or to interfere with than the very mechanisms inside your body. So as far as I'm concerned, it's time we talk of the possibility of private lands as sovereign entities. Because anyways, in the libertarian dream that I would like the society to converge toward, anyone would have at any point in time the right to dissociate from the wider government. Of course, it would come with consequence. If you decide that your land is outside of the country beginning now, well, now we cannot send police to save you anymore. And perhaps if there's a fire, it will be your trouble and you won't be able to get fire service. But I think it has to happen that people have the right to do this. And I think it should be as easy as a constitutional guarantee of sovereignty for individuals and groups at any level that decide such. And it should be as easy as putting up a sign in front of your house that says sovereign land, don't enter. Or in the current society, you just put up a sign that says no trespassing. But there's the problem. Two entities are allowed to trespass. The police under exigent circumstance, and the Child Protective Service under the belief by the Child Protective Service that a child is endangered. And this is so broad that there's not even an evidentiary standard. It's the belief. That is what most states have written in their child protection laws. The belief by the agent that maybe there's a child endangered inside gives them the right to enter. We have to completely abolish these laws and abolish the courts that give these permissions. And the BL says land prices would be so high no one could afford it. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it wouldn't be necessarily tied to land. My constitutional amendment would give you the right to dissociate from the country, even as an individual. But most likely, the form it would take is you could also dissociate as a owner of some land. Because ultimately, there is a problem with the fact that the laws of others oppress you. And it's not a problem when the legislator makes sense and when they kind of implicitly agree with the basic traditional conceptions of the Constitution. But it becomes a problem when people lose their mind and people start making up laws that just pollute your life and makes your life terrible. James is on the line. How are you doing, James?
Good. How are you, JF?
I'm doing great.
Hey, so I wanted to talk to you about your stance on emotions. I've been listening to lately. I know you've talked a bit about, I don't know if it's correct to characterize you as dissociating from your emotions, but maybe you could give a clear example of what your opinion on how you should deal with things in your life and maybe intellectual matters, the role of emotions.
Yeah, I think emotions are very often conceived as a driver of decision making, and really it shouldn't. Emotions are displays for the purpose of social manipulation. And if you take them that way, they're not a big problem. But you shouldn't, like, people think they feel an emotion and then they say, okay, this emotion motivates me to do A, B, C. I don't think it should work that way. I think the emotion is okay. It comes for the purpose of making displays as you've already taken an action. So first, my first conception is dissociate emotion from decision making, because it's not what it is. Emotion may come as part of the decision process in order to socially justify the decision. Someone can say, by explaining his behavior, he may say, oh yeah, I was feeling very sad and this is why I've done this or that. But that is the social nature of the explanation. And ultimately, it is meant at synchronizing with others about the state of your own decision making. I don't think the brain needs much emotional drive to make decisions. Now, emotions can be some kind of parameters that change the balance of the pros and the cons in a given decision, but you shouldn't obsess about it. And I think our society is way too obsessed about it. And it takes the form, among other things, of hedonism and the pursuit of pleasure. And this whole conception of the boomer that, oh, you know, all I want you is to be happy. And they won't ever go against happiness, when in fact, sometimes you have to go against happiness, because the kind of local happiness or sexual pleasure you may have in doing something may not be to your interest long term.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I would characterize emotions as merely a, I don't think you said merely, but I think there's so much more than just display an emotion. Emotion is often a tool, an information tool for you to know about yourself, what drives you and what gives you purpose in life. And I feel like when you first feel an emotion and you blindly follow it for a little while, it can give you more information about what is the correct path for your life if you are setting yourself up in a correct way. And now I don't even say this for just your life. I almost consider myself an intellectual hedonist in a way, where I first get an emotion and then I pursue it intellectually, finding all the flaws and the examining the argument in its complete depth. And so emotions, in a way, are guiding me in a very strong way throughout my intellectual life, but maybe in a bit of a different way than you.
Yeah, maybe, because I'm not a neurotypical, I would say. I'm probably part of the 10% least emotional people in the world. But yeah, the way you present it, then emotion would be to your intellectual pursuit what visual attention is to vision. You are talking of it as a guide that guides you toward a further examination of something in the visual space, but you're talking about it rather in the intellectual space.
Yeah. Have you watched the prequels of Star Wars? Are you familiar with them pretty well?
What are the prequels? 4, 5, and 6?
No, they're 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, so the new Star Wars?
Yeah, not the newest ones, but the one that came out in the 90s and 2000s.
In the 90s and 2000s, yes, I think I watched them, but I don't remember much about them.
It's a great story about emotions versus the Buddhistic Stoic philosophies. The Jedi are like Buddhist and Stoics, where they say that deny your emotions. They constantly tell this to Anakin. Reject your fears, reject anything you fear to lose, what it would tell Anakin. He would fear Padme dying or his mother dying, and Yoda would constantly counsel him to reject these fears and in a way suppress them and not even explore them. But yet then the Sith on the opposite hand would tell constantly to harness your emotion and use that to fuel you in a way. And I don't know, when you put it in this sort of dichotomy, people have emotions, and to negate these emotions, I feel like, can also bring about consequences in a way that you can't ever get rid of emotions. If you have them, something needs to come out of them. And so embracing them and finding the full consequences of them, I feel like is the most healthy thing to do with emotions.
I don't know. First, I'm not advocating to control your emotions or negate them. I'm a man who gets very little emotions, the kind of irrational drives. I don't get them at all. And the regular emotions, I get them kind of dampened. So I'm totally fine with it. I'm not combating it and I'm not trying to hide them. But very often there will be people coming to me and wanting me to have more emotions. Like, oh, Jeff, aren't you sad about this? It's like turning the nail in the injury. It's like they would want you to suffer more because they feel it would be a normal amount of suffering. Whereas if you can deal with the world and the events of the world with relative lightness and experience less suffering from what causes the average human suffering in an average situation, then so be it. Let it be. And let's not obsess about having about forcing people who don't have much emotions to have more than what they have. And also, I would say you seem to present emotions as they will always contain something that they will always contain something useful that you need to inspect. But it's not true. A lot of emotions, including anxiety, for example, show up in pathological context, and basically you would be so much better in life if it didn't show up at all, but it shows up. And there's nothing to be figured out about, there's nothing to be solved about it, it's just a dysfunction of your physiology, and it would be great if it wasn't there.
I disagree. I find every emotion I feel, I like to explore it and find, why am I feeling this emotion? If I feel any anxiety, I realize, oh, maybe I have something undone in my life that could lead to further harm in my life. And I go, oh, there's something in my life that is causing this reason. So the emotions gave me that information without me even knowing about it. So I felt anxiety and then I explored it intellectually and then I solved that problem to stop myself from getting harmed from that action I didn't fix.
Well, it may have happened in your life at this moment, but what I'm telling you is there's a vast amount of emotions out there that are completely pathological, that don't serve a function, and that the persons will not gain at trying to figure it out on a psychologist's couch or whatever. It will not fix it, and it will not help them to gain insight into the causes. And sometimes there may not be any justified causes.
I mean, you're almost talking about brain as a kind of an imprecise tool that is just completely random and just throws out things out there, and we just need to ignore them. I feel like every part of information, it's like code in a way in our mind. I feel like every part of life can be examined, and every emotion is part of your entire life, and it should be examined almost like autistically. And that's, I don't know, that's why I find emotion fascinating, but maybe you don't.
Well, that's a very dangerous path to take. Now, maybe it serves you well, and maybe you're a healthy guy who will only, throughout your life, you will only feel the right emotions at the right time. But let me tell you, there's a vast swath of people, like in the 20 to 50% of the human population, who will experience severe psychological, pathological states where the wrong emotions is, and I take as an example, depression, anxiety. Depression is sadness that is not justified, that is just physiologically caused or due to a physiological imbalance. Anxiety disorder, generalized anxiety disorder, is your entire body feeling like there's a tiger running after you, basically, or some threat is there, but there's no threat. Schizophrenia, the perception that there's a threat, but there's no threat again. So you've been lucky in life and you're a healthy young man. But let me tell you, I would like to talk to you again at 50 year old and see if you've ended up experiencing one of those. Because then you would understand that there is such a thing as emotions that serve absolutely no purpose, that are just bugs. You say that the brain is like code. Well, the brain can have bugs like the code as bugs. Mama JF is here.
No, it's because our life that is not normal, because we're supposed to live like on a farm with the animals, and maybe like the young girls like, who go to university, they feel so much anxiety because it's not normal.
Their genes are not prepared for the modern lifestyle.
Yeah, they should be like a mother in a house. Mm-hmm. So actually, anxiety is showing them that it's that the society is wrong.
Okay, well, yes, it could be induced by an improper environment, but still, it you wouldn't find in that anxiety the answer to the environment being improper. That's my view. But James, you were about to say something?
Yeah, well, depression, for example, when I feel like even with depression, you can learn from it. You can say, okay, I'm hopelessly sad. I can barely get out of bed. Why am I feeling this? Well, maybe you've done something in your life that has taken you down a completely wrong path. And it's very valuable information because you're like, okay, I need to change, completely do a rework of my life because I am feeling utter gripping depression and just throw out my game plan and do something completely new. So I, every time I feel like extreme happiness or extreme sadness, it just gives me so much information about what I should be pursuing in life. And I don't know, I guess that's, I wanted to bring that up because I knew that we were diametrically opposed on our view on this sort of thing. And I thought it'd be interesting.
Oh, it's good that you brought it up. But again, what you described, I disagree, because there are people who, you talk about depression from clearly the standpoint of a guy who doesn't suffer from depression. I can know that you don't know about depression when you state an extreme feeling of sadness would motivate me to go out there and fix my life. It's exactly the contrary. When you are in an actual depression, an actual clinical depression, your entire brain will be turned off and you will not even want to get out of it. You will not find the will to get your ass up and fix it. So I think that you are speaking from a place of privilege because you are an intelligent guy and your emotions have been handled by your high IQ pretty well. But in the vast majority of human beings, it's not the case. Emotions will be disruptive and coming out at the wrong moment, and you'll have anger, lack of control, risk taking, irrational behavior, paranoia, hallucination, all of it, and much of it is useless in the world right now.
Well, JF, who are you giving advice to? You're giving advice to high intelligent people. So your advice would be good for the mass of society, but I don't know if it's the best just for your crowd, because your crowd might benefit from my advice of exploring everything intellectually, because they might have the intellectual power to do everything that I'm doing in my life. And so I think that it, for people that do feel a lot of emotions like I do, I think it's a useful strategy.
Yeah, but then what would differentiate me from Sam Harris? I'd be a yoga, meditation type of podcaster once again. One more.
Well, you don't need to say that emotions are the meaning of life. They're not the meaning of life. The meaning of life is reproducing your genes, but they're a powerful tool. So that's why I'm not like Sam Harris at all. Sam Harris encompasses emotions as like the driver of all of our actions, and we need to, if people feel harm, then we need to completely change the world 180 and perform all these actions just to stop emotions. I don't care. I'm fine with people getting depressed. I'm fine with people getting extremely sad. These are all just information that are imputed into the code of our human being. And I think we should enjoy all emotions, not just happiness, sadness. Everything is should be enjoyed.
I mean, I enjoy emotions. I just don't obsess about it. And when you say it's even when you say it's a powerful tool, I'm not sure. What have you accomplished with emotions in your life?
Well, a lot of the things that I bring up in the Patreon hangout, I am driven by a kind of ego to do my best, and I feel satisfaction and pride, these emotions from performing a excellent argument. And so I get these kind of emotional endorphins from doing this. And so in a way, I get this thrill from pursuing excellence. And so that's why I do these arguments sometimes.
That's interesting because, okay, the ego thing I can understand. I would argue that, yeah, maybe a kind of ego motivation has driven me toward writing the revolutionary phenotype. But I don't know if I would even classify it as emotionally driven behavior. Because the fact is, when you have the intellectual idea of, okay, I want to be a big scientist, I want to accomplish something excellent, I'm not sure you're really feeling it. I'm not sure this intellectual idea actually is an emotion. Do you get what I mean? I think you can construct a vision of yourself and have a plan without feeling the ego.
Well, let me ask you, when you were writing the revolutionary phenotype, didn't that fill you with a lot of amazing feelings about, I am constructing something completely new, revolutionary? It must have gave you so much energy and positive emotional feelings in your life.
It may, and at times also extremely negative feeling of shit, it's a tough task and I have to spend hours just fixing sentences and crap like this, all of this for an idea that I have to complete because I've been promising it for years. And yeah, there were negative and good emotions, but the intellectual idea of I want to be a scientist who makes a major advance, I don't think I would call this an emotion. It's a plan, really. It's a narratized version of the future.
Yeah, well, I don't see you as a person that is looking for status or recognition from your peers. I think you have this intellectual purity where if you see in your mind that you perform the best argument, you don't care if anyone else recognizes that. But I think that's still something within your mind that satisfies you. And I get a similar feeling for when I construct those type of good arguments. And so, I don't know. Yeah, our emotions are a tricky thing because they're a bit of a subjective definition. If what are we actually feeling? But yeah.
Yeah, and see, even the use of your word satisfaction, is satisfaction an emotion? Because satisfaction can also be seen as simply the meeting of a standard. And that's much more, that describes my emotional life much better, which is when I look at the revolutionary phenotype, I'm satisfied. Not in the sense that I feel endorphins or whatever, but in the sense that, okay, this fits what I wanted to express and I'm happy. Now, the happiness may be an emotion, but the satisfaction is really, I have a set of criteria about what I would want the world to be and what I would want my accomplishments to be, and they are met.
You don't get any, because dopamine or any kind of endorphins from this, from satisfaction?
My point is, I may get those, and we can call it an emotion. We could call it happiness. We could call it the hedonism of resulting from a satisfaction. But I'm not sure that satisfaction is an emotion.
I think it is, but I don't know how to prove that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a complex thing here. How do we even, when we talk about these emotions, what are we talking about? Because I'm talking very specifically about the qualia of the virtual feeling that people report when they say, I have an emotion, I feel sadness or I feel happiness. But I'm not sure people can feel as much as they talk about what they feel. I think there may be more words for emotion than actual emotions, in other words. And I'm afraid that there may be spam here happening.
Yeah, I feel like I might be using the word emotion very broadly in my definition for maybe a lot of things that you wouldn't even classify here as emotions. And you, I feel like, maybe classify it very narrowly. And James, somewhere in the middle.
Is this kind of an April Fool's joke? Because you've been using I feel the whole discussion, and I don't remember you using these words often in the Patreon hangout. Are you trolling me, or is that just because the subject of emotion is coming that you feel it?
I wanted to kind of reinforce the feeling type thing over and over again, because there is something in emotions, JF, and you kind of have to feel it. And that's the problem with emotions. There, I don't know. This is a weird argument to have, because when you're debating intellectual things, that's the opposite of emotions in a way. And yet we're debating emotions. So I have to say feel, and yeah, it's becoming unsensical.
Nighttime Edition says, I'm gonna feel the 30-year-old feeler.
The 30-year-old feeler. I'm feeling.
All right, James, it was a pleasure talking to you. I'll move on so I can conclude the show soon.
Have a good night, Jeff.
All right, bye-bye. Oh my God, that was so funny, because James is a highly rational, intellectual, rational guy, like oriented on critical thinking and everything. And I was like, wait a minute, he's been saying, I feel, I feel, I feel. What is happening with James? I'm worried. Has he been brought into some kind of Freudian psychological session? And got abused by a psychologist? I don't know. Palladium, platinum, soar after London market blocks Russian products. First Russian gold and silver, then diamonds, now platinum and palladium. On Friday, newly refined Russian platinum and palladium was suspended from trading in London. Okay, more sanctions, more self-deprivation. NASA scientists to send new message, including unsolicited nude pictures, to make contact with aliens. Oh my God, you have got to be kidding me. This is the first message that aliens will get from us. A group of scientists in partnership with NASA plans to beam a radio message into outer space via a high-tech telescope with detailed information on human life, including a cartoon of two nude people. The researchers, led by NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, published a paper on the preprint server archive about the updated Arecibo message to extraterrestrial intelligence in the Milky Way. So what is being expressed here is that DNA, male, female, ready to reproduce, heterosexual couple, as it turns out. Interesting. I would have expected a gender neutral update, but no, we still have men and women. some mathematical function. Okay. And this, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it expresses, but okay. That's what the extraterrestrials will get. There is a filming of a Russian colonel explaining to Ukrainian citizens that he's not there to attack them or whatever. So let's have a look at the conversation. So yeah, he's explaining to them that he's not there to make war against them as civilians, and he's there to denazify, and he's not going to attack their children, and he guides them toward a direction where they can run to safety. I think it's pretty reasonable. I think it shows that there are certainly good motivated people on the Russian side who don't want to cause violence other than just pursuing their military objectives, and they don't seem to want to cause civilian suffering. Democrats block subpoena for Hunter Biden to testify before Congress in the Democrats on the House Oversight Committee. Well, the Republicans have tried to force Hunter Biden to testify, but of course they won't let it happen. We have learned from the magazine Science, high precision measurement of the W boson mass with the CDF2 detector. So surprisingly, the researchers found that the mass of the boson was significantly higher than the standard model predicts, with a discrepancy of 7 standard deviation. So the standard model predicts a mass along that line in purple here, and there was already a measurement of the W boson around this area, and as it turns out, the mass of the W boson is around this area, which distinguishes between the models of heavy supersymmetry and light supersymmetry. I thought about our friend Ray Fleming when I saw this, because it seems that basically the standard model is just not informative enough to have predicted something that we now know physically with a more precise measurement. So I wrote to Ray Fleming and I said, I saw this and thought about your book. Had you ever devised a theoretical estimate of the W boson mass? He says, hi, Jeff. He just answered that a few minutes ago. He says, hi, Jeff. Roughly speaking, it could be a relativistic sigma baryon, since the mass of a sigma divided by 2x, the fine structure constant, is close to the mass of a W. In onium theory, there should be several resonances with similar but different masses. So this result does not surprise me. And he had a paper called WZ Higgs and Top Masses Calculated Using Relativistic Onium Theory. It's interesting because this guy has been developing theories that could very well in the coming years be found to have been exact in their precision. So that's why I wanted him to tell me if that was expected for him. Very interesting. John Drake says that the electric universe reigns supreme. Yeah, on the internet. Dead Star says on Entropy, JF, in answer to your poll, The state is the swatter. The state brought weapon to Tempu's mansion. The phone call came from one of 7 billion anonymous humans on this earth. Okay, that is a view. When you get swatted, it's not so much the guy making the call. It's ultimately the state attacking your house. Yeah, I can see it that way too. Will they catch the Tempu swatter? Everyone answered no. 3 people voted tonight. You guys don't have any hope for this in an age of surveillance? It should be easy to catch. I mean, how can he do these calls? It has to be through cell phone, internet, IP. All of the technologies are under control. I can't believe that they cannot trace that. However, he may be using some kind of a botnet with another computer, and then he erases the evidence. But even there, if you control another computer through a botnet, eventually they'll see it through the routers and the whole internet system. So I don't know. Ukrainian officials say at least 50 people were killed in Kramatorsk missile strike. I've already covered this earlier. There will be a Q&A with Elon Musk for the internal Twitter employees because they grumble about his influence. So you're going to have these weak leftists. They will be able to correct their, you know, to reassure themselves and fix their emotions of anger now that they've known that Elon Musk is their new boss in a way. Oscars, that will be our last news item. Oscars punishment for Will Smith's slap is pathetic and weak. I don't agree with the title, but that was just mentioning that Will Smith will be banned from the Oscars for 10 years. 10 years without going for the Oscar. Will Smith has already responded to the punishment and he said he understands. And he understands that he had to be punished for what he's done and he regrets doing it. So we won't have Will Smith for 10 years at the Oscar. Will we feel that there's something missing? Well, Will Smith had never been at the Oscar as far as I can tell. I think it was his first Oscar because, let's be honest, Men in Black and all this crap, Will Smith is not a talented actor. He is just a guy who has been successful in the Kid of Beverly Hills. What was the name of this? The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Was that it? And it was okay to do this because it was the 90s and anything he would have done would have been accepted then. So he was never looked at from a artistic high threshold perspective. It was always looked at with the bigotry of low expectations, and he's never succeeded at acting anything else than himself. This kind of attitude that you see it in The Prince of Bel-Air, you see the exact same attitude in The Wild Wild West, you see the exact same attitude in Men in Black. Basically, this guy is not an actor, so he shouldn't get a single Oscar ever. Much love. See you all tomorrow. Thank you.